to share with you from 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11. I want to talk to you about healthy Christianity. A lot of people are concerned about their health today, and that's a good thing. Those of us who aren't doing it more probably should be doing it. We should be living a healthier lifestyle, doing more things that keep our bodies well and in tune and healthy. And, a lot of sickness that's been going around, a lot of colds and flus. And praise God, I bypassed them, so I'm thankful for that. But, we're also to be healthy as Christian believers, that God wants each one of us to grow, to be strong, and to be healthy. So we want to look at that in 2 Peter 1, 3-11. That's in, just take the back of your Bible, and just go back a few pages, Revelations, 1 John, and you'll find that Peter there. It's not too far from the back. And you should see it on the screen here as well. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted, blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you're really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is a light unto our path. I thank you that you've given us your word, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, that you would speak to us, and that you would direct us unto right paths. So I pray that, Lord, you'll bless your word here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I want to share with you about that healthy Christianity, that God desires us to live in a realm where we have physical and mental well-being, to that place where we were strong in our faith, and that, as the Scriptures say, that we will not fall away. Now, we all start our Christianity at the exact same place, and that is that we come to that place where we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We come to that recognition that Jesus is Lord of all, that there is no other way to heaven but through Him, and we confess that with our mouths. And it tells us that in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. And that's where salvation begins for all of us. It starts with a confession. It starts with a belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we recognize that as we believe in Him, that we shall not perish. What would we perish from? Well, we'd perish in hell. Ephesians 2:8 says, God saved you by His grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. All we have to do is believe in Him and confess Him and desire to serve Him. And as we look at the Scriptures here, it tells us that as we start with that initial part of belief and confession, that there's something that we can also do to help us to grow, to mature, to become strong, to become healthy in our faith. And that's where sometimes Christians, they choose not to do that. They choose not to grow, and they become sickly in their spiritual experience. Well, God doesn't want us to be sickly in our spiritual experience. He wants us to be healthy in our spiritual experience. And so he tells us there's some responsibilities that we need to add to our faith, to supplement our faith with virtues that will help us to grow spiritually and that will help us to grow in health. Now, if you know Christ in your heart, so we need to realize that we need to come to that place where there's a cooperation starts taking place, where we start to cooperate with God by His Spirit as He begins to speak to us, because God will speak to us. God will give us those nudges in our lives, in our hearts. Sometimes you might hear them in your mind. Sometimes you might just really feel the Lord tug at your heart, or you might feel an emotional experience starting to happen where God may be speaking to you and talking to you about things that He wants you to do in your Christian life. And the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to lead us, and He will do that for us. And it goes on here in 2 Peter 1:5 says, make every effort to respond to God's promises and supplement your faith. And that's what I want to talk about, the supplements that God desires for your faith. Now, we can talk about those things as things that God wants to add to our faith. We can talk to them about being spiritual vitamins that we would put in our bodies that would help us to be healthy. And while there's some spiritual activity that we need to do that will help us in our Christian walk to go from that initial confession and faith, that experience in Christ, to start growing in that relationship and getting to that place where we become strong, healthy in our walk with God. It's something the Bible says, make every effort. In other words, it tells you need to take this seriously in your walk with God to make an effort to live for Him and to be a healthy Christian. And it's the same thing in the natural. If you want to be healthy in the natural, there are certain things, foods that maybe you'll stay away from. There's a certain diet that you will stick to. There's certain exercises that you will do that you might be healthy. Well, the same thing in the spiritual realm. There are certain things that you need to do that will help you become healthy in your Christian walk. Now, the first supplement to our faith in helping us to be healthy is to add to our faith moral excellence. Again, 2 Peter 1:5, we'll be referring to that verse a lot. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Now, some translations refer to that as goodness, being good, and that is indeed part of the definition of what moral excellence is. It's a virtue of being good. It's living in such a way that your conduct is considered right, good, and moral. And that's something that God wants to do that with excellence. You know, there's a lot of people today to say that, you know, don't worry about your Christianity. Just live any way that you want once you accept Jesus. And that's not a true statement, friend. That's a lie. And that's really what Peter was dealing with here as he's writing to the church. He was dealing with false teachers that come into the church and try to encourage people not to live for God. And so he comes in here and says, you know, we need to have a moral excellence. We really are to be different. We're not to be the same as the world. There's so many Christians today trying to be like the world and then trying to be a witness to the world. You're not a witness because you're no different than them. And they very quickly will say to you, why would I want what you have when you're living exactly the way I am? There is to be a difference. There's to be a moral excellence that we portray in our lives and in our lifestyle. It's something that we need to give a generous effort to. The Bible says that this excellence is to be a mastery. It's to be the highest of integrity. And I think as Christians, we need to work on that in our lives, that we need to watch ourselves, that we might be of the highest integrity in our lives, that our lives would be characterized by moral excellence, doing those things that are right and choosing right over wrong. Now, that's easier said than done, right? That's how it goes. That means there needs to be effort being required. I love Philippians 4:8. It says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. When we sin, most times our sin starts in that area where our mind is. We think about it before we ever do it. We may express it before we actually ever do it. And so a great area of defense of moral excellence is to start right with our mind. Watch what's coming in to our minds, that our minds might be alert, that our minds might be strong, and that's where our moral excellence begins, right there, and then gets reflected into our lifestyle. God wants our lifestyle to be a healthy lifestyle. Secondly, in a supplement or a vitamin, if you want to call them, to take that will help you to be healthy in your faith is knowledge. Again, verse 5, 2 Peter 1. Supplement your faith with knowledge. And this points to the need that we need to have knowledge of God. You need to have the true knowledge of God. You really need to seek the God in the Scriptures. Don't just read a portion here and there and another little portion over here, because that's what false teachers like to do. They like to take a passage here and then another passage over there, but they don't take a look at the whole Bible. What does the whole Bible say? You need to know the whole book. Don't just read portions of the book. Read the whole book, that you might know the whole book, that you might grow in the knowledge of God. Now, obviously, as we pray to God, as we come to church, as we do numerous things that help us in our knowledge of God, it is all needed, because God wants us to have an enlightenment that we truly know Him, that we know His will, that we know His direction for our lives. Because a lot of times you will be encouraged to go various ways in your Christian walk. You'll be tempted to take some steps that are not good steps for you. But if you have the knowledge of what God is wanting to do in your life, then that will help you to avoid those traps and to say no to those areas where maybe the enemy is trying to lead you. First thing we need to do is get into this book, the Word of God. So important. Scripture tells us, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So we come back to that word of goodness, come back to that word of knowledge. We find that in the Word of God. And as we seek the Word of the Lord, as we seek God in the Scriptures, they will help us to live a healthy life. It's interesting as you read the Scriptures as well, and you read the Pauline epistles, and you see that they're always crying out to say, I want you to grow in your knowledge of God. And Philippians 1:9 says it this way. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. God wants you to grow as a Christian. He doesn't want you just to come to that place where you have faith in Him, you come to that place, you acknowledge Him as God and Savior. God doesn't want you to stay there. God never intended for us to stay there. God desires us to grow. God desires us to be healthy and to keep on moving forward with Him. So that's another area that we need to add to our faith so that we can be healthy. Knowledge. Third in supplement to our faith that's going to help us to be healthy is that we would add self-control to our faith. Now we go into verses 5 and 6, and it goes through the words. We're not going to read all the words over again. I believe they're on your screen there. But it says, supplement your faith with self-control. Now, self-control is the control of one's emotions, desires, actions. We are responsible for what we do. And again, sometimes the false teachers get out there and they try to tell you that, you know, you don't have to practice self-control. You know, that's old stuff. You don't have to do that. No, that's the Word of God. You are to practice self-control. You are to control yourselves, abstaining yourself from anything that will be harmful to your faith. It's a practice of self-discipline that we need to be involved in. And you know, again, we live in a world where people are saying, eat, drink, and be merry. Like, just get out there, just indulge yourself. Don't worry about it. You know, it's all covered by grace. Well, no, it's not really all covered by grace. There are things that God calls you to do that we must do. And there's that area of self-control. And I found something to observe something that to me concerns me, because I watch people when they begin to relax those areas of self-control and begin to indulge themselves. I've watched it many times, indulge from something that's small always leads to something big. And so you start dabbling in the little stuff, I guarantee you, you'll be soon dabbling in the big stuff. And just like in here in 2 Peter, there's a lot of that went into sexual immorality because they started with a little bit and then a little bit more, and soon they find themselves in a very immoral position and relationship. So we need to be careful and practice self-control. You are responsible. You need to do things that are necessary for you not to go down those roads of sin, or it will take you away from God. 1 Peter 1:13, he says, think clearly and exercise self-control. And that's something, you know, again, we need to guard ourselves and guard our minds, that we can think, that we can be sober, that we can have an understanding of what God is wanting us to do. It's interesting as well that self-control is also a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. In other words, the Bible is telling us the Holy Spirit wants to help us in this area of self-control. You've got problems in the area of self-control, get more of the Holy Spirit. Seek more of the Holy Spirit. Get more into worship and seeking the Lord even more. Turn on some praise music in your home. Turn on some praise music in your car, and let your atmosphere be filled with something that's good, something that's going to encourage you to be looking and thinking about the things of God. So again, self-control, very important. That will help you to be a healthy Christian. Number four, it says, 2 Peter 1:5-6, supplement your faith with patient endurance. Now that's enduring pain and trouble with composure and without complaint. That is not easy, is it? Often when we go through some trials and struggles in our lives, we kind of lose composure sometimes. We lose it. Maybe we get it in a yelling match or something, or we say something that we shouldn't say. And God's telling us you need to have a patient endurance, that you can work through those things that maybe get you trouble, that we can work through those temptations and trials of life that come our way, that we can work through those times when we're going through an economy where we're seeing a lot of people lose jobs and so forth. Well, we need to have that patient endurance, because things will turn around. And we need to be praying into that. I want to encourage you to be praying into that, that there would be a turnaround in this whole oil industry, and that there would be jobs, there would be employment, people would start getting raises again, and there would be a total turnaround financially. Because if we're not going to pray for that, friends, then it's just going to keep coming down more so. So we need to pray against that, raise a standard against that, and believe God for some great and wondrous things. Bible tells us, Hebrews 12, it says, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And we do that by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. There's only one way that you're going to endure through a terrible trial. And sometimes big trials do come where all you got left is just you and God. The only thing that's going to pull you through is to keep your eyes on Jesus. The only way. It's the only way. You need to keep your eyes on Him, to focus upon Him. Only He can help you through the storms and the trials that come your way. 2 Thessalonians, it says, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. We must stay close to Him. You'll never make it without staying close to Him. He tells us here in 2 Peter about people, Christians, that were falling away from the faith. But he's saying, if you have a patient endurance, your faith is solidly in Christ, He's going to help you come through those times, that you will not fall away. So that's another area that we need. 2 Peter 1:5-6 again, it says, number 5 says, supplement your faith with godliness. Godliness is simply acting like God. being God-like, being like Jesus, practicing and living as Jesus did, having a heart for God, having a heart for our Heavenly Father, having a devotion to God, a loyalty to God, a practical awareness of God in everyday things and everyday life. Now, again, we find that there's a problem in our Christianity today because we have a lot of false teachers that are out there saying that godliness is not important. It is not necessary in your life today. I don't know what Bibles they are reading because it tells me quite a few times that godliness is something that's very, very important for my health. 1 Peter 4:8 says, physical training is good, but training for godliness is a much better, promising benefits into this life and into the life to come. You know, it's a really good thing that if you're into the health thing, I probably should be more in the health thing myself. But, you know, if we're really into those health things and you know, we're doing all that, we spend all that time to make sure we have a healthy body, how much time are we doing that for our spiritual bodies? Do we take the same amount of time that we would devote to making our physical body healthy to making our spiritual body healthy? Because the Bible says it's good to have training physically. It's a good thing. That's what he says. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much more important. And that's something that we got to realize. It is more important. Godliness still is, ever will be, a needed supplement in our lives that will help us to be healthy as Christians. Number six, supplement our faith in Christ is brotherly affection. Again, part of the verse 7 there, it says that you're to supplement your faith with brotherly affection. Philadelphia love, filial love, brotherly love, friendship, family. And that's who we are. We are a family. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to love one another with a brotherly affection, like we were brothers and sisters in Christ. It's rather interesting that the early church used to call us that, right? Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Growing up in the church, for me, it was very common to refer to everyone as a brother this or brother that or sister this, that we use that terminology. Today, we don't usually need say that too often, but it was just kind of a practice to remind us that that's who they are to be. They are to be like our brothers and sisters. Doesn't mean that you may have a problem with them sometime. We all know as brothers and sisters with siblings, problems happen. But what you get over them because you are a brother, you are a sister, and there is that affection that we have with one another. So that's another area that we need to work at in our lives, that we would treat one another as family. And we do call this church Bethel Family Worship Center because we really do want to be known as a family, that we kind of look out for one another, we care for one another, we pray for one another, we help one another. That's who we want to be. But interesting in Scripture, this is not only a supplement that helps us to be healthy in our Christian walk, it's also a command. 1 John 4:21, it says, "And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters." It's not something that's optional. It's something that God requires of all of us, that we would treat one another with brotherly love or sisterly love. Then lastly, and supplements to our faith that are going to help us to be healthy, is that we need to love everyone. 2 Peter 1, 5-7. Supplement your faith with love for everyone. And now this is the big love. This here is the agape love, which is a sacrificial love. This is a love that is characterized by deep affection and deep devotion. It's the ultimate love above all loves. And that's a love that God gave for us, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did for us in giving his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And he tells us that, you know, that as he gave us that love, he wants us to also to exemplify that love. It's also a love that comes from the very throne room of God, because the Bible says God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. goes on to tell us in 1 John 3:16, we usually know John 3:16, but not 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says this, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave his life for us. So we ought also to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters." So God is calling us even further in that friendship love to a love that's sacrificial that we would have also for one another. An agape love, a self-sacrificing love for one another. And again, love is always key in growing in our spiritual walk with God. If you would read 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love. If you do not have love, then you have nothing. And so again, that's something that we must grow in as Christian brothers and sisters, that we need to grow in love, a true sacrificial love for one another. I've been noticing that there's been people in our congregation that you've been practicing some of that. Some of you have heard about other people that maybe have lost jobs or been cut back hours, and you've been going by and you've been buying them something, you've been giving them a little gift or whatever, and that's what we should be doing. I think we don't always have to be putting all the money in the offering plate. We can, your tithes go there, don't forget that part, but we can go out and just bless somebody, help somebody, just to know that, hey, somebody's struggling, and if I'm sitting there and I got lots of cash there, well, what does it hurt me to go and help somebody? Go and bless somebody. And I want to encourage you to do that, to bless somebody. You see somebody that's struggling, you know, that can be one of the greatest evangelism tools that we could use during this time. That as we look at people that have lost jobs, go buy them a bag of groceries or a big cartload of groceries. Do something nice for them and just say, you know what, I just want to bless you. I know that you're going through a tough time, or go out and get a gift card or something of that nature. Bless somebody. Show the love of Jesus. Sacrifice, even on your own part, that someone else could be blessed or could experience a blessing through you, that it may bring them closer to Jesus Christ. So this morning, there are supplements. There are some vitamins. There are some virtues that we are to add to our faith, that when we become Christians, we have a choice. You can be healthy or you can be sick. God does not want us to be sick in our spiritual walk with Him. He wants us to be healthy. And there's some things that we need to do. We really do need to strive towards moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love for everyone. We need to add those things to our faith that we might become strong in our faith, that we might become healthy in our faith. God desires us to be healthy. God desires for us to be strong in our faith. There are things that will come against us as we go into the last days. There will be trials. There will be circumstances that may come against you. And what's going to help you to survive them is being healthy. Just as in the natural, when your body's healthy and there's all these viruses and flus and colds and sicknesses that are going around, isn't it amazing how you can bypass all those things because your body is healthy? But if you start getting sick or not start treating your body right, then it starts being more prone or vulnerable to the diseases and sicknesses that are around us. Same thing in the spiritual. If we don't look after our spiritual body, we can become prone to all the sicknesses and the diseases of the spiritual world that can come and attach itself to us. So we want to be strong. God wants you to be strong. God wants to keep speaking to you. God wants to keep giving you revelation. God wants to help you through your times of difficulty. God wants to see you through. And He is available. He is there. And He wants to help you.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow